Greetings, this is Dr. William R. Glaze, the teacher and preacher here at the Anchoring in Jesus radio program. I'm coming to you with a special educational opportunity here at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, where fall classes are about to begin. On Monday evenings, we have Defending the Christian Faith, American Sign Language, and Financial Peace University being offered. On Tuesday evenings, we have our flagship Biblical Counseling program that is being offered. And on Thursday evenings, we have a new class, God's Viewpoint, Responding to the Gender and Sexuality in Our Culture. So why don't you give us a call at 412-242-3255 to find out more information about how you can enroll in one of these classes at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will challenge us with the first half of part two of listening to God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of part two of listening to God.
1 Samuel chapter 3, and we've been in a series on Sunday mornings entitled In Pursuit of Intimacy with God. And we've been talking about how a person can become more intimate with God. And if you are here today and there's no intimacy with God in your life, then we pray that God would use this message to draw him closer to you. This is about the seventh message in this series, so we've covered a lot of ground so far. But today, we are going to continue a message that we started last week on how to listen to God. How to listen to God. And if you'll open in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3, we'll begin reading in verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was lying down in his place, and his eyes began to grow dim that he could not see. And before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was lying down to sleep. So what we have going on here, you have an older priest whose name was Samuel, and you have this young child who is also in the temple proper. And it says in verse 4, the Lord called to the young man, Samuel. And he answered, here am I. And he ran to the older priest, Eli, and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli, and he said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. As we started this message last week, there were a couple of things that we said. So I just want to review real quick and bring us up to speed where we are today and pick up the message where I left off last week. But we've been talking about listening to God. listening to God. And as we looked at the message last week, we looked at the reason for the voice of God. And we said that the reason for the voice of God was that it said the word of God was rare or precious in those days, and there was no prophet, there was no spokesman for the Lord. And so the Lord came to Samuel in a special way. And then we looked at the repetition of the voice. And we said that the Lord called Samuel three times before he and Eli realized that it was the voice of the Lord. And so that kind of took us through the scripture last week. All right, if you go to the next slide. So we said that God is speaking. And we talked at length on this last week. God is speaking. No matter who you are, God has a message for you. God has a word for you. And we asked the question, are you listening? And the problem arises is that we have four types of listeners, and maybe that's why people are not hearing what the Lord is saying. We have the uninterested listener, and that is the person who has their own agenda and could care less what God has to say because they're going to do their thing. We have the unfocused listener, and that is the person that is distracted by many things. God is speaking, but they got so much going on that they can't hear what he's saying. We see that there is the uncertain listener, and that is a person who has heard something, but they're not exactly sure what they have heard. And then we said that there is the undisciplined listener, and that is if you're going to hear God, you have to train your ear. And we're going to talk about that this morning. How do you train your ear to hear God? All right. So there is the undisciplined listener. And we said that the reason that people are not hearing what God is saying is not because he's not speaking, but because we're not listening. All right. We said that you have to posture yourself to listen. We talked about this last week. And when you posture yourself, that means that you have to have an expectant spirit. That when you go to your quiet time, you have to expect God to say something to you. If you go there without any expectation, then guess what? It's not that God is not going to say anything, but it's basically going to be that you didn't really hear what he had to say. So you've got to have an expectant spirit. You've got to have a still spirit. And we pointed all this. If you got the notes this morning, all this is in the notes. And then you have to have a receptive spirit. You have to be able to receive what it is that the Lord has to say. Now, before I get into the message today, I developed a little chart, if you'll go ahead and put that next slide up. And now, I don't expect you to write this down, so don't try to write it down, all right? But I have developed a chart for those of you who are interested, and you know the drill. You know where you can get it at. You can get it in the bookstore. Nice, shiny chart, color chart. And in this chart, what I did was I went through the Bible, and I looked at all the ways that God speaks to people. And then I said what it meant, what does that method mean, and then we gave some cautions as to if you are trusting in this method to hear from God. You know, we talked about the Bible and what that means, and the caution that we offer there is that some people put their own spin on the Bible, so they try to make the Bible say what they want to say. The Holy Spirit, God uses the Holy Spirit to speak, talk about what that meant. And, you know, there are some people who say that they're being led by the Spirit, but they're really being led by their own spirit. All right, so you got to be, there's a caution there. God speaks through circumstances. The Bible is very clear about that. What does that mean? And what is the caution? Sometimes Satan can manipulate the circumstances to make you think that this is God and it's really not. And then God speaks through other people. And God has used other people. Now, the problem we have there is that sometimes people are well-meaning, but they got the wrong message. So as we look at the primary ways that God speaks in the Bible, these are four primary ways that God speaks. Now, there are some secondary ways that God speaks, and they are through an audible voice. He's spoken to people through, you know, through a voice. And there is a caution there that you got to be careful because Satan can have an audible voice, and he can speak. God has spoken through dreams, and we offer a caution there, is because sometimes dreams can be intercepted or can be misunderstood and can be changed. So we have to be careful about dreams. We have to be careful about visions. There were false prophets who received visions, so we have to be careful about that. God has spoken through angels, and you know the problem there is sometimes there are evil angels, and God has spoken through the dead. He has sent somebody back from the dead. Now, as I read the Bible, and I know I'm going to get into trouble with some folk on this one, as I read the Bible, I only read one time when God sent somebody back from the dead, and it really wasn't a good thing. So if somebody comes back to speak from the dead, according to the Bible, now I'm not talking about your experience or what you have had to deal with, but in the Bible, when somebody from the dead comes back and speaks, it's not a good thing. All right, so I just want to give you that warning, and then there is a theophany, which is an appearance of God. So again, I just wanted to put that out there because these are ways that God has spoken in the Bible, and this chart is available in the bookstore. But now I want to talk about how can we develop a listening ear to hear God, that God is speaking, and we need to hear God. You know, a lot of people, especially young people, come to me often and they say, Pastor, you talk about, you heard the Lord or the Lord spoke to you. You know, he don't speak to me. I don't understand what you're talking about. And so I've prayed, man, Lord, no, I prayed over this message all week. I studied because I really want people to understand what it means when it says that they heard the voice of God. Now, again, you know, we saw all those other ways that I just listed, and I wanted to put those up there and get them out, you know, so that we would understand that these are ways that people, that God spoke to people in the Bible. But now I want to hone in on, as we as Christians living today, how can we hear and understand the voice of God? So the first of all, I want to talk about the impetus to God to speak, that God speaks first of all, through what I call divine initiation. Well, what is that? All right. Sometimes you may be in your prayer closet, or you may be before the Lord, and all of a sudden, a thought will come to your mind that, and I'm going to talk about in a second, a prayer request, but you're just praying and a thought comes to your mind. Well, you know what that is? That's God putting a thought in your mind. Amen. That's God putting, see, what? Do you have to hear a voice out of the speaker in your radio? Do you have to hear a voice out of your teeth? No, you don't have to hear that. God puts a thought, as we are before him, he puts a thought in our mind. That's what I call divine initiation. Now, that thought can mean a couple of things. First of all, he may be speaking to you about something going on in your life. You know, maybe you are going through a trial and God wants to give you a word of comfort. And I don't know how many times that I've had difficult times of sorrow in my life, and I'll just be before the Lord and he will bring a scripture to my mind. And he will bring a verse, or he will bring a word of comfort to my mind. Well, you know what? That's God. That's God speaking to your heart. That if you've lost a loved one and you come before him and all of a sudden a verse pops up in your mind, all of a sudden a word of comfort, a word of encouragement pops up in your mind, guess where that's from? That's from God, all right? And likewise, you know, maybe, you see, we don't want to hear this. We want to hear the good part, right? But maybe you have offended somebody. This has happened to me. You have offended somebody. You have said something negative. You have said something wrong to somebody. And you sit there, and all of a sudden, a thought comes in your mind that you offended somebody and you need to make it right. Guess where that came from? That's the Lord speaking to your heart. So sometimes he will speak to us through the circumstances of our life. You know, I think of Joshua. God spoke to Joshua when Joshua was getting ready to go into the promised land. And Joshua must have had a little apprehension, and God appeared to him, and he said, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. And that was the word that he needed. Sometimes God will speak to you about ministering to somebody else. Sometimes you'll be in your quiet time, and a sick person will come to your mind. Guess who put that thought there? Sometimes you'll be in your quiet time and God will say, send somebody a card. Send somebody a text. Send somebody an email of encouragement. That's God doing that. I don't know how many times that I've sent somebody an email or I've sent somebody a card and they said, man, that was right on time. Man, I was dealing with a situation and when I got that, man, that was what I needed. Well, guess where that came from? That didn't originate with me. God put it in my heart. God put it in my spirit. You know, there's been people that have wanted to commit suicide. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, somebody will call them and talk to them, and they won't even know what this person is dealing with. That's God putting a thought in a person's mind. And then we see that God sometimes speaks to us about something unknown in the future. Something that we absolutely have no idea will happen. We see in the scripture over and over again that God spoke to people and he told them things that would happen before they happened. Now again, we have to be very cautious here because I've heard people claim a wife and a husband. I shared before that there was a guy who told me he was married and him and his wife was having problems. He told me that the Lord already showed him another lady in the church who was supposed to be his wife. All right. Well, see, now, again, you know, there's some problems there. That's why I say, you know, we have to be a little careful with this one right here because, you know, it's easy to claim something that everybody else hasn't claimed. You know, God hasn't spoke to the other person's heart, but he spoke to our heart about it, right? All right, so this is what I call divine initiation, and that is where God takes the initiative to put a thought, a verse, encouragement, rebuke, whatever, he puts it on your heart. And then there's also what I call a divine response. And what is a divine response? Well, that is when you pray and you ask the Lord for something. That when you come before God and you ask him for something, and God, you know, when you're there, Lord, I'm not sure about this job. You know, should I stay on the job that I'm at or should I take another job? And you are requesting to the Lord. And as you sit there, God will respond to your prayer. God will talk to you about your situation. So now, here you are, right, in your quiet time. And you, after you have read your scripture, prayed, whatever you've done, you sit there, and maybe in the midst of reading your scripture and praying, God will speak to you, okay? It's either going to be one or two ways. Either he's going to take the initiative on his own to speak to your heart about something, or you're going to ask him, and he's going to respond to your request. Now, the danger is there are competing voices, all right? There are competing voices. So we have to learn how to develop a listening ear. Just because a thought comes to our mind, now I said all that about how God speaks, now I want to say this, just because a thought comes to your mind, that don't necessarily mean it's from God. So now you got to have a listening ear, all right, and as you listen, this is what I call SOS, SOS, these other voices. Where can these other voices, where can these other thoughts be coming from? They could be coming from self, all right? You know, and it's amazing to me, the people that have their own agenda and they have set up the situation that they want a certain thing to be a certain way, and then they say, well, this is what God told me. No, God didn't tell you that. You told yourself that. You remember in, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13, and Saul was getting ready to go into battle, and as he was getting ready to go into battle, he wanted to make an offering to the Lord, and only the priests could go into the temple and make an offering to the Lord, but Saul, because he was king, thought he had power to go in and offer this sacrifice, so he goes in. And he offers a sacrifice. Instead of waiting for Samuel to come to offer the sacrifice, he took it upon himself to go do it. And as soon as he got finished, look what verse 11 says. And Samuel said, as soon as he got done, Samuel showed up. What hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Here we go. Watch this. Watch this. Therefore, said I. Whose voice was he listening to? His own. Therefore, said I. We can stop right there. We don't even need to know what else happened, because something bad happened. I'm going to tell you that. Said I. So you got to be careful that as you sit before the Lord and these thoughts begin to come to your mind, you got to make sure that it's not you speaking. It's not something that you want to do. You know, here we see that Saul did this out of fear, out of insecurity. That he went and he did, so he listened to his own voice because of his insecurity. Some people will listen to their own voice because of their own agenda. Because this is what you want to do. This is how you have structured the thing to happen. And so you set it up and you do what you want to do. Because this is your voice. Therefore, said I. And so we have to be careful as these thoughts. I mean, really, when this thought comes to your mind, you got to be careful and you got to begin to ask yourself, you know, Lord, is this me? Is this something, Lord, that my flesh is all in this? Is this something that I'm trying to do because of me? Or is this really a thought that has originated with you? Secondly, we see that you got to be careful because there are others who will throw their voice in there. You know, that's why I say, you know, some preachers are not God called. They're pastor called. They're deacon called. They're mama called. You know, somebody said when they was a little child, you know, you should be a preacher. And so, you know, the aunt said it to them, right? So now they think that they're supposed to be a preacher because their aunt told them they're supposed to be a preacher. And God never said anything. So you got to be careful as you hear these voices that it's not somebody else. And then we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is a person who has a voice who means us no good. And remember what the Bible says about Satan. Remember one thing that it says about him, and that is this. That when he appears as an angel of light. Satan is like Hallmark. He cares only enough to send the very best. And so he's going to send you something that looks so good. It's going to look so close to what God has for you that you're going to look at that and you're going to say, wow, this must be the voice of the Lord. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said, And he what? And he did sign language? And he did mime? No, he said with his voice. All right? And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of part two of Listening to God. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, part two of Listening to God, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Listening to God, part two. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Listening to God, part two. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Dr. Glaze has authored a book titled In the Garden with the Father, which can deepen your study of the pursuit of intimacy with God. You can order In the Garden with the Father by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or by calling 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can also view many other teachings by Dr. Glaze. We invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.